The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
You know who else we love? We love Linda Kearns. She likes things that begin with E. Election integrity. Elvis. I need a third E, Linda.
Divorce? Oh, that's D.
This as, is she there? Linda Kearns.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, you. We can hear you now.
Great.
We were saying Dawn. Yes.
Well, first, I mean, because I feel horrible, I have to thank Newman Price for these socks he gave me. I heard him pull me out. Here they are. I write thank you notes and mail them in the U.S. mail. I know it shows how old I am. And then I send people like magnets from my practice, and I didn't have a way to get in touch with him. So please forgive me if he emails me. My email address is on my website. I will send him a thank you note. So I wanted to get that out there because I am religious about thank you notes.
Okay, so you're that Newman. We could have hooked you up. We just didn't, you know. So give us the info. Come on, she doesn't know how to contact you, and that does happen. I think because we spend so much time together. You know, and in the YouTube chat and here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And so Linda, I think probably didn't realize that. He just thought, well, of course, we spend so much time together. I don't know. So just some headlines. As we just about an hour ago, President Trump left for the Scotland trip where he has two golf courses. I think it's an inaugural for one of his new golf courses that opens August 13th, which is pretty cool. And we have a lot in the headlines with, obviously, that second day of interviewing Ghislaine Maxwell. Closer to home, the big story in the East Coast. More than 80 million people here in the eastern half of the United States under all these heat wave warnings. So stay cool. We're here with a really cool lady, Linda Kearns, election integrity lawyer, but also somebody who you may not realize is a family and divorce attorney. So we want to get into some of the headlines of the day. So where do you want to start, Linda? I'm just trying to do you want to go with the op-ed? Let's start with your op-ed so we can tell.
I know, Dawn.
Yeah?
We have so much to talk about. We should have our own show.
I know.
Because we have so much to talk about.
That's a great idea. Huh?
I think we need to talk about that. Okay. So op-ed, yes. People contact my office. They email me. They ask me questions about elections. And people started asking me about this phenomenon called emergency backup ballot, because there's this advice on the internet. If you're in Pennsylvania, order an emergency backup ballot. The problem is we don't have emergency backup ballots in Pennsylvania. And I lay it all out in my op-ed that's up on the Delaware Valley Journal website, and you can get it on my Twitter. And I think people are just getting confused. What we have in Pennsylvania is a mail ballot. And the best way to vote by mail is to go to your election office and request one and then turn it in right there. But ordering an emergency backup ballot, which we don't have, if you want to call the mail ballot an emergency backup ballot, that's not going to help you if there's an emergency on election day. Because if election day comes and you have your mail-in ballot in your hand, the only way to get that voted is to return it to your board of elections. And if it's election day, it's a lot closer to go to your polling place and just vote. But if you've ordered that mail-in ballot, they won't let you vote on the machine at the polling place unless you bring the mail ballot to spoil. And a lot of people don't realize that. So I think that people just need to make a plan to vote. If you want to vote on election day, over 70% of Pennsylvania voters, that's what they prefer. No matter how much we talk about mail-in ballots, they prefer to go on election day. Make a plan, make sure you're available. If you want to vote by mail ahead of time, that's fine too. The best and safest way to do it is to go to your election office, request the ballot, and return it right there. In the primary, I tried to mail my ballot in. I live in Philadelphia. I put it in a mailbox that apparently the post office was not picking up for some reason, and it never got there. So I had to vote on provisional ballot at my polling place this past election day. So I just want voters to really understand the process and not always listen to, you know, just random advice on the internet.
Yeah. It's as Greg Stocker always says, don't get your news and information from Twitter or X, as it's now called, right?
Exactly.
So let's get into some of the stories of the day, if we could, because you're a family attorney, a divorce attorney. And looking at the Coldplay story that has played out and the latest piece of this, and we've really been talking about this and obviously all those internet memes and everything that happened, But when you think about it, Linda Kearns, what is, speaking of not getting news from, you know, social media, what do you make of this story of, you know, a biggity big, as I always say, an official with a major company, astronomer. He's there with one of his directors, and they're at a Coldplay concert. It all plays out. What do you see as what's going on here?
Well, I've been amused by, well, first of all, I didn't even know Coldplay was still touring. So that, they're
nobody
the
did. Person. Yeah.
Just like I didn't even know that guy Colbert, he still had a show. So
Chris Martin, better songwriter than Elvis.
What?
just putting it out there. Just putting it out there.
Dan, you're not going to get any presents.
No olive oil for you.
It was like a 5-second video, and the internet filled in like months and years of backstory, and we really don't know the story. And that has really been, you know, something that I've enjoyed watching, because we don't know anything about this family. The internet is basically telling us that the guy's wife was at home, completely blindsided. You know, she's completely the innocent party, mm-hmm. and, you know, she's all upset. And no one deserves to be cheated on. So let me just say that. But we have no idea what her deal is. She might have known about it, because most spouses do, and was more blindsided by the fact that now all her friends and family know about it too. Because what I have found out as a divorce lawyer is, and let me tell all the listeners, your spouse knows. And I've found that out from my over 20 years of practice. It is not that hard to realize that your spouse is stepping out on you. A couple ways that people find out is, what they don't realize is these iPhones often back up to the cloud. And I cannot tell you how many people, you know, they share the iPhone account with their family, their spouse and their kids. And who've come, they come in my office and tell me that their little kid was looking at the iPad, pressed a button, didn't realize that what they were doing was looking at the backup on the cloud, and then found the husband's or the wife's text to the girlfriend. So that is a huge way. So it, you know, not that I mean, I guess this could be a little side hustle, like how to get away with it, but make sure you're not on the phone. You know, David Gelman and I, he's that Jersey attorney. We sometimes talk about this, like this could be a great side hustle, like explaining to people how to like get away with stuff. But I digress. So if you're on the same phone plan, your spouse can see, usually figure out how to see what's on your phone. Additionally, all these phones have these phone locators, so you can tell where your spouse is. And people just don't realize that. You can look at someone's EasyPass account and see where they've been. And what I tell people is, no matter what your marriage is like, even if it's like not a good marriage, so to speak, your spouse probably knows you better than anybody else, better than your parents did, better than your brothers and sisters do, better than your friends do. They know you. And I'm telling you, they figure out your password. If so many spouses come in and show me, look, I can get into his or her email. I can get into his phone. So, you know, if you think you're getting away with it, you're not. And there's other indicators. You know, someone might be taking out a lot of cash at an ATM because they need to, you know, fund this affair with cash rather than credit cards. So there's a lot of other indicators. So with this Coldplay thing, I know everyone's just assuming that this wife didn't know or the husband of the other woman didn't know, but let's not fool ourselves. That might not be the case. And just remember that in most states, including Pennsylvania, we're no fault, which means that marital misconduct does not come into play. So that doesn't mean that, you know, the wife or the husband is going to get more or less of the assets because there was marital misconduct. And even if you are absolutely enraged at your spouse, you shouldn't wish for them to lose their job, because that's going to hurt you too, because you depend on that income. So what goes on behind the closed doors of a marriage is often an absolute mystery. We don't know. We really don't know. I'm just amused that the internet is filling in the backstory for these people. I hope, you know, everyone's protecting those children. That's always my first priority. I do feel for those children. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's not assume that the backstory that the internet's giving us is the whole true story.
Well, I looked it up because I knew we were talking about this just last night. The woman who the New York Post, which I understand is tabloidy, but others are saying this too, but the New York Post reports that they're calling her the HR mistress of this company astronomer, Kristen Cabot, that she resigned last night from the tech company more than a week after they say they are reporting and they're claiming she was caught on camera canoodling with CEO Andy Byron on a Coldplay concert Kiss Cam. So they're,
yeah, that's enough. They're too old to be canoodling. That's,
yeah,
that's
like people stop. It's just like, ew, mom and dad, like gross. But
yeah, that's an issue. And it, especially in these smaller companies, these startup companies, they depend on investors. They cannot have scandal. So it's not surprising that these people had to step down or lose their job. That is not surprising at all. But, you know, what these families need to do is protect the income. Hopefully for the sake of the family, they were able to get severance or something, because there's real life consequences to these types of scandals, especially when you're in those high profile positions. And, you know, one thing I do want to say about social media as a divorce lawyer is I cannot tell you how many people have come into my office to file for divorce or say they've had it with the spouse and then, you know, give me the history of the 20 year, you know, the misery they've had to endure. And then I look at the social media accounts and it's full of date nights and glowing tributes to the spouse on the birthday and how great the children are and the fun family vacations. But the reality is often different because, like I said, behind the closed door of a marriage, you don't know what's going on. And I think sometimes we look at social media and say, look at that family. They're so much happier than me, or they make more money, or they have a nicer house. And that's usually just not true. So just like with election advice, just try and ignore all that. My kind of rule of thumb is the more that you're posting on social media about how great your life is, that's usually inversely proportional to how your life is like. So just kind of ignore all that noise.
Apparently, part of this is people have said, Linda, that the way they reacted is why it went. If they had just acted, even if they had just, I don't know, moved, you know, not like dramatically reacted. But the way that they react, and even the other person, then who's who's an employee, who's just like, hoo, 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 you know what I mean? They couldn't have reacted worse to the whole thing. We're showing it right now, by the way, Linda.
Right, but I mean, you know, it that they were surprised, and sometimes you can't plan for how you're going to react, and with something like that. But the fact that they were at the Coldplay concert, I'm kind of wondering, you know, if this affair was already out in the open, because, I mean, wouldn't they be, when I go out in public, like to the Phillies games or whatever, I often, you know, just happen to see people I know. So why did they think that they could do that, go there and not see people they know? So maybe this affair was already out in the open. Again, we don't know, because to everyone's credit, they are keeping it quiet. And I hope they're keeping the details quiet for the sake of the children.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Although I will say, on a weird, cynical, you know, viewpoint, I didn't know who this tech company was, Astronomer. I'd never heard of them. Now everybody worldwide has heard of this company, Astronomer. So
right. I've been involved with some of those startups with the deals and the angel investors and so forth. And while it's good that they're getting, you know, kind of publicity, because they say no publicity is bad publicity, I don't think it's necessarily going to get them more of those investors. Investors want to make sure that they're going to put this money in the startup and they're going to get a return. And this scandal shows just a lack of just good judgment of the people who are in charge. So hopefully for the sake of everyone else, all the other investors and people of that company, they can right that ship.
Is there, as far as Coldplay, because there were some people, and even the guy, the accused cheating husband, he was accused, or he wrote in his statement, that weird statement, which, by the way, was such a, like a slimy statement, but he wrote in the statement, well, we have to review when you think you're in a private space, and sort of blaming a little bit or shaming the Coldplay Kiss Cam. It's like, dude, you're at a concert with thousands of people.
First of all, I read that might not have been his statement. So that's another thing. We don't even know if that was his statement. But when you go out in public like that, you assume the risk, kind of like when you go to a baseball game and you could get hit by a foul ball. So he doesn't have any claim against Coldplay or against anyone else. And the last thing he wants to do is file a lawsuit and keep this in the news. He wants us to go away so he can go find another job and live his life. But I wonder what's going to happen if these two are going to stay together, or the marriages are going to survive this. But again, the internet's filling in all this information and we just don't know. And maybe that wife says, you know what? Maybe she doesn't have really much of an earning capacity, and she thinks, you know, it's better to stay married to him and have a roof over my kid's head than not. So we just really don't know. So I get amused by the internet just filling in all these details.
Do you see that? I mean, we saw that during the pandemic. Do you see that happening where they do like co-coupling, they call it, or coexisting because of the, remember that during the pandemic, it was the pandemic, the economy. Do you actually see that where people
it's actually happening a lot more now also because of the interest rates, because when you own a joint home together, there's really only three options to do with that home. One is sell it and then both people leave, or husband keeps it, or wife, mom keeps it. But if one of the spouse keeps it, they have to buy the other spouse out of it and refinance it. And if they have one of those good mortgages that some of us are lucky to have, you know, those 3%, 2% mortgages, they're not going to want to refinance at today's rates. And they also may not be able to afford to refinance. So sometimes people, not those Coldplay people, because they seem to have a lot of money, but, you know, some of us regular people who have regular houses with regular mortgages, it's not that easy to divvy that up. And sometimes people have to stay because, you know, sometimes an income that is perfectly fine for an intact family will not support two households. So people sometimes have to stay together longer than they normally would. And again, that can be really hard on the children. If the people aren't getting along, if there's a lot of strife and so forth in the house, but that can be a problem, especially with the economy like it is.
You know, I'd seen a story. There are always studies about marriage and divorce, and we always heard back in the day, oh, more and more people are getting divorced. One of the headlines I saw, and it was a trend that I think is a good trend, and that is that 40% all those stats that we saw about divorce, less and less people right this minute, if we do a snapshot, are actually getting a divorce, maybe because of what you just said, but they're saying that divorce is in decline. Only about 40% of marriages will end in divorce, and that number is down from, remember that? It was 50 to 60% for so long.
Well, you can't really look at that in a vacuum. I mean, that's certainly good. Even though I'm a divorce lawyer, I'm also Catholic, and I want people to stay together, and it's better for the children for everybody to stay together. I mean, that, so I don't really want marriages to fail, but there's other things that are contributing to that. Unfortunately, less people are getting married or waiting on marriage. So especially with this younger generation, like I always say, a lot of society's problems would be solved if everybody graduated from high school, got an alarm clock, and got a job. Then got married, then had children, in that order. And don't deviate from that order. Now, you can go to college if you want, but don't deviate from that order. But these people who are having children prior to marriage, you know, that does not help economically. And so I think that a lot of this younger generation, they don't see marriage as important when, you know, anyone who's ever been in any type of relationship knows that it's very easy to walk away when you're not married. And that marriage protects the children because, you know, it prevents people from walking away, or at least puts up a lot more roadblocks. So we might be having a little less divorce because less people are getting married, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, that's it. I didn't even think of that. Where they say they're also talking about on the rise this what they call gray divorce, where couples are divorcing. And I think I just wonder your take on this, Linda, because they're saying that maybe it's because we're living longer, but people are together, they're married, then the kids grow up, and all of a sudden you're seeing people in their like 60s and 70s, and you're like, what? They can, I just heard about somebody that I know. I'm like, well, that's just stupid. You know what I mean? Like you've really been together like 30 plus years and they're doing it. They're getting a divorce.
Yeah. Marriage is not easy. And a lot of these couples, they put all their effort into the children and then they don't really think about their own relationship. And for anyone who is Catholic and goes to pre-Cana, and I hope people still do that. I mean, all this, I know I sound like this old fuddy-duddy, but all this stuff is really important. The priest tells you that your marriage has to be the most important. Your spouse is most important. Like, your children are important, but you have to continue to work on that marriage. And when the kids grow up and then all of a sudden you're in your late 50s, early 60s and say, I have nothing in common with this person. I don't have much time left and I don't want to be with them anymore. And again, you know, you might have enough retirement income or savings for both of you to live under the same roof. Probably not, though, for two separate roofs. So it can get really, 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 really tough. So, but yeah, that I definitely see a lot of those. A lot of those divorces. Some of the people say, you know what, I've been miserable my entire life. And now that the kids are out, I want to be on my own. And it's really sad. And I sometimes feel bad and I want to get those divorces done as economically as possible, because the less money to the lawyers means there's more money for the people, because that's who's going to need it. They need the resources.
You know, early in the first hour, as far as in the 10 o'clock hour, I was talking to Reagan Reese, you know, a Daily Caller and White House correspondent, and she mentioned that one of the pieces that she's working on next, one of her long form report that she'll do as opposed to the day-to-day, you know, covering as a White House correspondent, Linda, is that she's working with people, officials in Virginia who are looking at election integrity training. That's, and I mentioned you, I said, oh, you got to talk to Linda Kearns, because that's what you did here in Pennsylvania. So does it interest you, and, you know, as far as other states, is Pennsylvania and what you did here, obviously with Michael Whatley at the national level, is that something that's spreading across the country now?
Right. So the RNC, and I'm not currently collaborating with the RNC, the election's over. So the RNC is committed to that. And I know that they have a big program in New Jersey. What we need, Dawn, though, is our local and state parties need to really, you know, really focus on that. And you can't just depend on the RNC to come in election years. Yeah. And unfortunately, no one has figured out that magic sauce to get the vote out during these off years, to get poll watchers during these off years. I would love to have a poll watcher in every election so that by the time that presidential comes around, that poll watcher has, you know, eight elections under their belt, two a year. They are experienced. They're my superstars. But it doesn't happen. People aren't as excited during the off years. So, I mean, that's really a long-term issue. I think we have to work more on just civics class and like explaining to people how important that is. And then as a party, and work towards just getting people involved in each and every election. And you guys on all the shows on on 1210 WPHT, you guys always talk about that. And I'm grateful for that. But unfortunately, I think you're preaching to the choir, because mm-hmm. the people who are listening are a really good voter. So then you got to go to your friends, your brothers and sisters who may not be as involved, your nieces and nephews, your kids, anybody who, you know, anybody else who you can influence by your good civic participation in elections.
You know, you write so many different pieces. You mentioned the Delaware Valley Journal, but also for Broad and Liberty. Some of the pieces, and I always want to push people to find your writings and everything, Linda Kearns Law, but you talked about in the past a couple of things. There were cases that should be in the headlines. If they were Democrats, I would submit to everybody, and I think we all know this, this would have gotten and still would have greater coverage. But you talked about different Republicans who were focused on and targeted and bullied and harassed and threatened during the previous election year. And also you talked about removing dead registrants from voter rolls. And you have written about those. Can you expound on both of those if there are any updates on those?
Absolutely. So actually, those are two cases I have with the Public Interest Legal Foundation, which is a public interest law firm, and I'm their Pennsylvania counsel. We just got, and I don't want to, it's a little difficult to talk about ongoing litigation, but in the case where we're trying to figure out who sent those threatening letters to Trump voters in October of 24, we just got a pretty good ruling in that case about discovery, and we're working on discovery. So that is moving forward in federal court in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, and it is going well. It's a tough case, and it's going better than I thought it would. With our voter roll work, when we sue states to get to make sure that they're maintaining the voter rolls, we have a case now. We got not so great of a decision in the Third Circuit. We're looking into appealing to the Supreme Court of the United States. We hope they take it. Those types of cases are marathons, not sprints. A lot of the litigation you see, like in and around elections, I call that like panic litigation. Like they're trying to quick solve a problem and then everybody disperses. But with the Public Interest Legal Foundation, we're on it 365 days a year. I was just on an email chain this morning about another case that we might be able to file in Pennsylvania that hopefully could improve things. But these cases take years. So it takes a long time to really, change people's minds. And the Public Interest Legal Foundation, we also, the lawyers there, they also testify a lot in Congress so that we can get, the laws changed. So, you can go to our website, thepublicinterestlegalfoundation.org, and hear about all of our cases. And then I also have another case with a place called the Center for Election Integrity. We're looking for people whose loved ones were in nursing homes and might have had other people kind of influence them on their ballots last year or in years before that. So if anyone has any experiences like that, please just go to my website, lyndakernslaw.com, find my email and email me about it, because we are looking for those types of stories.
Yeah, it's important. And then Center for is it American First Policy or Center for Election Integrity?
It's the Center for Election Confidence. That's one client. And then Public Interest Legal Foundation is another. These are these great organizations that are run on donations, and they really do great, great work.
Lynda Kearns at Lynda Kearns Law. I always love to hear from you, have our Elvis conversations. I'm trying to remember, so many movies nowadays have some Elvis music in them, and I always think of you. Like how Lynda would love this movie, just because it's a little
Well, I'm
Elvis.
Going to Graceland next month, so I'm hoping I can call in from Graceland.
Please. I love that. That's awesome.
And I this might be showing my age too, but I know I have a crush on Matt DeSantis, but on the air last week, Mike Opelka actually said that it sounds like I'm gonna start boiling his bunny. And if anyone knows what boiling the bunny means from that movie Fatal Attraction, when Glenn Close got so obsessed, she boiled the guy's bunny. So I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe I need to dial it down on the Matt DeSantis crush. People think I'm just like this enraged. What do you think, Dan? Should I start a crush on you instead? I don't know.
Sure, go ahead. I mean, Maisie won't be too thrilled. Just in the background, Lynda's like, it rubs a lotion.
We love you, Lynda Kearns.
Thank you, Lynda.
All right, and thanks again, Newman Price, for the awesome Elvis socks.
Woo! And she will always just tell us, we'll pass it along. We'll be the conduit. Yep. We'll be like, to name another movie, what was that movie with Whoopi Goldberg and Demi Moore where like there's the conduit? Remember that? Ghost. Well, not really. We won't be like that. But anyway, that was icky. Sorry, I went there.
Are Matt DeSantis and Lynda Kearns going to do pottery together now?
I love it. Matt loves
the listeners
brush.
To depend on me for good election advice and good legal advice. And sometimes I come on these shows, I sound like a lunatic.
No, we all love
it. I hope they know it's all in fun.
It's Friday. We're having some fun.
Matt!
Lynda Kearns. Yeah, right. Lynda, thank you. Until next time, my friend. We got to get together and have lunch again.
Absolutely. And have a great weekend, everybody.
Lynda Kearns. We love her. And we love Elvis, too. All right. 855-839-1210 around the corner. Do we have, we'll see if we have Kathy Barnett. We always do a tease with Kathy Barnett. for her upcoming show or just to talk about what she has
coming
up.
Yeah, no response.
So she's busy, okay? Yeah. She's very busy.
She's a busy woman, yes.
We'll try to track her down, but if not, we'll still promote her show.
Great report from Allie Bradley, though, that she sent over.
This is unbelievable. We'll go to that next, around the corner. And this is something, again, bias by omission. Why isn't the media talking about what we know about these children who are being trafficked into this country? Homan, the Trump administration are desperately trying to find missing children who were brought into this country, apparently by the cartels, being taken advantage of, being trafficked. And we're getting new information. So there's one reporter who's obviously doing a great job. Everybody else seems to be ignoring the story. And we'll take you there right around the corner. New details swirling around Alina Haba. You know her well, and that's technically a local story because it has to do with New Jersey and the U.S. attorney there and that back and forth that we've reported on. So we'll get to that in a moment. But so I've talked a lot about human trafficking. I know this is a story that you care deeply about. And this, to me, this illustrates why the so-called mainstream media is disingenuous when they claim to care so much about the Epstein, the evil Epstein story, meaning Epstein was evil and his victims. But he's dead. His victims, tragically, I mean, now they've grown up with this and they are actually grown women in their 40s and 50s and beyond. But we right now have hundreds of thousands, we know this from the documentation, hundreds of thousands of missing children who are believed to be, many of them, there is reasonable cause to think that they are in some kind of peril or harm's way or they're being abused. And this is an active investigation by this administration to find these children. They're trying to find them. They found thousands. I've done interviews and stories on this, as you well know. Here's an update, and this is the latest story and I'm always looking for these updates. So at least we have one reporter, one network that cares about it. Listen in, as this is the latest report that we could find. This is News Nation reporting on the latest as we search in America for missing children and what's happening to these kids.
We just got information from an HHS official that shows that 13,061 unaccompanied minors have actually been located under the Trump administration. And ICE, we're learning, is also arresting some of the sponsors. 442 sponsors have been arrested for involvement in suspected child abuse or other crimes are being discovered. Now, the abuse is being determined through a multifaceted investigation if they do determine that sponsor was abusing that child. Now, they're using local police, CPS, federal agencies, they're all involved, according to HHS. Now, former special agents with Homeland Security Investigations have explained to us that oftentimes these kids are left behind as payment. The parent is often promised by the cartel members that they will eventually be reunited with their child in the U.S. That child, sadly, is often recycled to help single adults enter the country illegally. Now, we know that 320,000 unaccompanied minors were essentially unaccounted for under the Biden administration. The Trump administration, they campaigned on it. They've been talking about it regularly. It's a priority for them to go and find these kids, but still just a fraction, Nicole, 13,000 out of 320,000 so far.
Truly just.
And so that's Allie Bradley. And you just saw that report on News Nation. I mean, good for her. She's standing at the border reporting on this properly, HHS information. But you think about that, 13,000 children that were found, and I reported that to you earlier. They've actually found more than that at this point. But the bigger story is we're getting the details of what some of these children have endured. And the fact that we have more than 400 of those sponsors now facing criminal charges, that's another report. And so I just want you to think about that. That instead of reporting on things like this and these hundreds of individuals across the country who sponsored these young children, and these children are being abused, sexually abused, trafficked, etc., and then the word recycled, it just makes you sick to your stomach, doesn't it? That these kids are then being quote unquote recycled. And so the fact that that's just being ignored by the so-called mainstream media, because, you know, they care so much about the children and these trafficked children. And so think, just put it all together. Think about what's happened in our area, especially Montgomery County, and how, and I'm going to say this, there are a lot of good people who are caring, who would volunteer. And so when you see it, it seems to be ladies, it seems to be grandmothers, right? And they show up because they're being told on social media, uh-oh, ICE is showing up and taking advantage of hardworking family people who are here illegally, right? And so they're being, those women are being taken, some of them are crying. They're being taken advantage of. They're being gaslit. It's really a horrible thing, because I suspect that if these same people in our area and across the country knew what was going on and knew that you had these kids who everybody's looking for, I would just say, why not have them help? They clearly have the time, because if I see something on social media, I might report it to you, but I'm at work, right? Dan's at work. Jimmy Kelly, our engineer, he's at work, right? We're all here at work. A lot of you are at work, right? You have us on your earbuds. You're doing your multitasking. But for these ladies, they obviously have some time. Maybe they're retirees, or they have a job that's flexible, because they seem to show up to these events and prayer vigils and that sort of thing. And so my heart goes out to them, because they're being taken advantage of. They're being played. As I always say, don't get played. This is a situation across the nation where we all need to be able to, it's like the saying in New York that they started after 9/11, if you see something, say something. And that was started in New York. It has gone nationally. But everybody needs to spread the word. This is an active search for 300,000 plus children who are missing in America. And it should be top of mind for all of us. And then just to say, if you see something, say something. Get involved. So I just wanted to give you that report. So who was it that called in? I know some of you wanted to comment on some of the stories. 855-839-1210. I'll get to the Alina Haba and other updates. Dan Borowski.
We're moving fast. We got to get to a break.
Oh, boy.
I hate to say.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Breaking news. If you can hang on, I'll get your call. Be right back. Headlines today in Philadelphia: dangerous heat, weather warnings, possible severe storms this evening, and Philadelphia at City Hall announcing plans to bring back all of our favorite childhood memories. Christmas, the Christmas light show at the Wanamaker Building, Dickens Village. I think of all the years of going there, and I was so sad when the Macy's left, but it looks like Mayor Sherelle Parker, by her direction, is trying to keep the Wanamaker Woo! Light Show. And yeah, I'm with it, Dan.
I'm so excited for that.
Meet at the Eagle, kids.
Did you petrify your kids growing up by bringing them to the, you know,
No, they loved it.
Puppets?
They loved it. Yeah, those creepy puppets and the Dickens. No, they loved it in the light
so
show.
Scared. When you get to Ghost of Christmas Past and there's the Grim Reapers and such. More chains and...
Well, mostly it was the organ and the light show, because then I could like shoe shop. It was always down by Macy's. You know, you could like buy the shoes.
Yeah.
So I would go, hey, kids, look up. Hee hee, I love these shoes.
You go watch the lights. Oh, look, it's Rudolph.
The lights. Oh.
Oh, these are great Gucci flats.
So much going on. Hey, we have Frank. Frank, it's Friday, Frank. We love. Hey, it's a great Friday, Frank. How are you?
Hey, Dawn, never had a bad day in my life, only bad moments.
Well said. What do you want to talk about?
I'd like to make a comment in regards to the sanitation contract that they received.
Yeah.
If I used to belong to three different unions, three different unions I belonged to at one given time. And I say if the city would have gave them, or Mayor Parker would have gave them a 10-year contract with 5%, everybody would have been a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
The taxpayers wouldn't have to wait for it to get their trash picked up when there's a strike. And also, for 10 years, the union, District 33, wouldn't be able to turn around and strike, because they would receive 5% every year for 10 years.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like it. I agree with you. I mean, they worked through the pandemic. They didn't get a big raise throughout all of that. And everybody else in the city, and even until fairly recently, let's just point out, was not even at work. So, yeah, I think they deserved it. So that was That makes me sad. Hey, President Trump yesterday withdrew his nomination of Alina Haba, his former defense attorney, as you well know, and she would serve as the top federal prosecutor. So because he withdrew the nomination, and now he can name her, clearing the way to serve as U.S. attorney in the state of New Jersey in an acting capacity. So this is a back and forth between trying to basically avoid and circumvent some of the Democrats in Jersey trying to get rid of her, which is a disgrace.
Remember, we are New Jersey.
I know. Man, that guy, what a residue he leaves behind. Right? Residue. Yeesh. What a vindictive, big.
Where are you going with this
long tooth? Like his long teeth. You know what I mean? Like his, you know, dude, you're so wealthy. Just get some new teeth, first of all, instead of the new hair. But
you're a crumb creep.
Yeah. Just really a vindictive creep.
Tony Bruno's up next, and we do have him available for questions.
Tony Bruno and Miss Robin.
We love the Wanamaker's building. I remember when it was Wanamaker's, obviously, and there's so many events in that building. So if it's closed, how are they going to reopen it? They're not taking the organ out, right?
No, they can't because it's protected by the historic society or something.
Like, I think it's the oldest active pipe organ of that size in the world.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's actually taking care of history. We're getting rid of so much history. Now, all of a sudden, finally, we're keeping history. And the Dickens Village and all that stuff, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what going to downtown Philly during the holidays, you can smell the chestnuts.
Yes.
You can smell the weed. I don't know. Is this weed? Is the weed smell overtaking the chestnuts roasting on an open fire in Center City during the holiday season?
Yeah, pretty much. Unfortunately, that's true.
Big blunts roasting on an open fire.
So, Tony, you and Miss Robin, great shows this week. What do you have coming up?
Oh, we got so much. I'm going to go after Pat Ford of Sports Illustrated for being an idiot, even though he's a great writer. We got The View had their big finale today as far as their hiatus. And guess who they had on? We'll talk about that. Plus, we got a couple of really weird Friday stories. Butt-sniffing bandits in California, L.A., actually. And then a former NBA player and coach also caught on camera sniffing his own butt and smearing it on a hotel wall.
Take that thing out. Unhook it.
Ew.
And, yeah, you're ripping Murphy. How about digital driver's licenses in New Jersey? Because the same people who don't want voter ID now want people to produce their digital IDs when they get stopped for a violation and they don't pull over and comply with police. How's that going to work out?
It's a sin. It's a Tony Bruno, Miss Robin Friday. Can't wait to hear Tone. Take it away.
Have a great weekend, everybody. You too, Dawn.
Thank you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.